We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and Facebook at Social Capital with Lori Hybe. All links mentioned will be found in the show notes. This week's guest is Christy Ruffino. Christy is a serial entrepreneur who has had the very purposeful journey since she started her business Tribe over 10 years ago. It has all come together in a way that now serves her clients at the highest level. From her first entrepreneurial effort as the top Girl Scout cookie seller to her current business as the president of the Dynamic Professional Women's Network Incorporated, Christy has learned how to guide other entrepreneurs to get groundbreaking results as a business strategy coach. As a business strategist and coach, Christy serves her clients through not only the outer game of business strategy, but also the inner game of getting out of their own way so that transformation and business success can happen quickly. One of her areas of expertise is helping her clients learn the art and science of building a thriving business with their following, their mastery, and their message. Mistakes, detours, and unexpected life events have shaped and motivated Christy to accomplish things she may not have otherwise. She had to push herself to live anything but a mediocre life. She has become an expert at showing her clients how to leverage the person they have become by sharing their message and their mastery with the world to build success. Christy believes in the power of collaboration and knows that one woman can make an impact, but achieve so much more with the support of other smart and dynamic women. In response, she founded the Dynamic Professional Women's Network, www.ourdpwn.com, an industry-exclusive networking organization designed to help women create partnerships with each other to generate ideas, alliances, and revenues within a structured referral-generating format. Since its conception, many women have joined the DPWN tribe, recognizing it as a driving force behind the success and profitability of their businesses. Christy also founded the DPWN Angel Foundation, the Chicago-based Dynamic Women's Conference, DPWN Publishing, and the Amazon best-selling Overcoming Mediocrity series of books. Well, Christy, that is lots, and I'm sure you've got lots to share, and I'm really excited to have you on the show, so welcome.
I'm excited, and thank you, Lori, for reading that bio. It was, I know, very, very long, and you did a great job plowing through it all.
Well, you've got a great story to share, and it needs to get out there, and that's what you're all about, is sharing that message, so awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with, what inspired you to start your own networking organization?
Oh, well, great question, Lori. So, it's been 13 years now. I found myself in a position where I had to get out. I just went through a divorce, and I had to get out and figure out my way in the world. And I was very fortunate to land a great job in the mortgage industry. It was wonderful, except for the fact that we're doing the same thing that I was doing. And so I had to get out and network. I had to get out and find clients because it was a commission-only job. But because that there were so many other mortgage consultants out there at the time, I could not find a group that had a category open. And I really, let me back it up a little bit. Before then, I was doing a lot of networking. I was in a lot of, and I did a lot of different things to find clients. And what I found is I was getting a lot of business cards, but I wasn't really getting a lot of business. And then I heard the whole concept of a leads group, which is an industry exclusive group. And I realized that that would be the right fit for me. And that is when I went searching for a leads group. And because there were so many mortgage professionals out there, I couldn't find one that I could fit in that had the mortgage category open. And so that is kind of really what led me to start my very first group. And I wanted to be in a group like that. And even though I couldn't find one, it didn't stop me because I got some amazing women together and we kind of got our first group started. I put together some structure and some policies that I thought would work really well. And then after a couple of years of that first group, we ended up by having a waiting list of women that wanted to be a part of it because it was such a thriving group. We were passing a lot of business to each other. My business, I mean, I ended up by building a really, really strong business in that mortgage with that mortgage company through that experience. And after that, it just evolved where we ended up by kind of branching in a really organic way. 10 years later, we're actually super excited that we're going to be celebrating our 10-year anniversary next spring. And so right now we've got 21 different chapters in 3 different states with plans to continue to expand into other states. So it's super exciting. And it's really cool how that difficult period of my time brought me to start an organization, really ended up by helping so many other women in the process.
That's fantastic. I love that you had so much energy from and motivation to start your own group because you were not finding what you were looking for. That's fantastic. And I'm sure it's been quite
a
roller coaster, I bet, as far as getting this going. So that being said, what advice would you have for someone else that wants to start their own networking group?
Well, what we did initially was I did a lot of research. I attended other groups that were like this. I took what I thought was the best of the best of all of them that worked for a working mom schedule. So my idea was to cater to working mothers. And what makes us a little different is that it's really hard for working moms to meet at 7 o'clock in the morning, like some of the other groups. So what we did and what I recommend anybody doing is kind of doing what works for you and your business. And we created what I thought was a good process and it works. But I know that's a lot and not everybody really has the time or the energy to do that. So kind of follow what other people are doing. If there's a group in your area that works, or if you heard of a group, like our group that works, you know, you can always kind of model what they're doing. Don't recreate the wheel. Take what somebody's already working on and kind of copy what they're doing. Why not? You know, of course you can't use their name or anything, but take other people's successes and just duplicate them and then you'll have the same success. I know that's actually, it's a quote that one of Tony Robbins' quotes that I just heard today about how if you can duplicate other people's successes and follow that, use it as a framework to create your own success, you can always accomplish success right after that. So I don't know if that really answered your question, but I just know that in the networking world, I think it's really important that you build relationships and it's about serving others and helping others. And when you're in a group like ours, where you have long-term relationships with other business professionals, it allows you the chance to get to know them so you feel confident referring business to them, and then they are confident to refer business to you. And what it does is it creates an extended sales force for everybody that's in that group, and it allows us all to really find more business and accomplish more of our goals that we have set for ourselves as we're trying to create successful business plans.
Well, that's fantastic. And I love that quote or, you know, that piece of information you shared from Tony Robbins. The whole time you're talking through this, I was thinking of that phrase that imitation is the highest form of flattery. And I think that just kind of resonates with all of that. So great tips there. I'm going to shift gears and I'm really curious about the series of books that you have here. So, you know, networking and you're really growing, looking to grow and support businesses. And then, so how does tying in this series of books kind of relate with the rest of what you're doing?
So I was actually invited to share my story in a book 5.5 years ago. And when it was actually inviting me to share my story, and my first reaction was, no, I can't do that. First of all, I'm an introvert. And so I didn't want to put myself out there in that way. And so my story mattered. I didn't think that about my story. But she really helped me think differently. She helped me recognize the fact that there may be other people out there that are going through or have gone through similar struggles that I went through, and that by my sharing my story, I could help them in some way. And she just basically said, well, hey, if you can help one person by sharing your story, wouldn't it be worth it? And I said, yes, absolutely it would. And then she also explained to me how having a book would be a really good marketing tool for me as I'm trying to build my business. And I thought, yeah, hey, that makes a lot of sense. Why not be able to get out there and have a book when I'm out, you know, meeting with clients or when I'm out networking? And so I said yes. And that project turned out to be really, really beneficial for me, so much that I decided to create a similar type of a experience for the members of my community. And so we put together a book, our first book called Overcoming Mediocrity. And it is from, I think that book has 21 women, and each woman has an amazing journey that they shared on the pages of that book. And each of the women I would say almost all of the women in that book are business owners and used that book as a marketing tool, positioning tool for the business. And then once we got that book out and we started getting emails and having conversations with people that have read the book and really were touched or were really moved by some of the stories that they read, it really made me recognize that there's so much more to this whole idea than us sharing stories as a marketing tool for our businesses. And so what we've done is we've gone on and we've published 4 books at this point. I'm actually interviewing authors right now for the 5th book. And throughout this whole journey, I have just come to realize how important our story is for our business. Because when we're out trying to develop relationships with clients and meet clients and keep clients, we want our clients, once we have them, to be long-term clients. But what makes us different than our competitors is not really our product and service, but it's us. Who we are as people. We are what connects our clients to our businesses. It's us, who we are. And so if we can share a little bit of who we are, our trials and tribulations, and even our triumphs, if we can share that on the pages of a book or on the about section of your website or in your marketing messages that you're doing on social media or in your emails, if we can kind of connect with them and be real and be vulnerable at times, it allows them to become more loyal to us, next with us in a way that they couldn't without knowing who we are as a person. And what I find is that when we're meeting with clients, we don't necessarily want to talk about us. But if we're done with that meeting and we can just kind of leave a little book behind, we'll have some amazing stories. They feel really grateful that they've got that book, and then they read about us, and it really kind of creates that bond with them. So I guess I just realized here is how important our stories are to the success of our businesses. And I think it's just really cool that how it's all evolved and the fact that it's really making a huge difference for the women that share their stories, as well as for the people that read all the amazing stories inside. So it was really cool. Lori, we need to get your story in the next book.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. And my mind was wandering too, as far as where do I even begin? I mean, it's been,
I know. It's hard, but it's good.
One of the things that you said really stood out. If you could help one person by sharing your story, isn't that worth it? And that really, and I know someone actually said that to you, but I think that's a powerful statement and just so true on so many different levels. So that's fantastic. I love that. And I know I've got, I know I have at least one of their books. I might have 2 of them.
Yeah. Well, make sure you read them, because there's some amazing women in those books that have shared some pretty powerful stories.
Absolutely. Thank you. So let's move on here. I would love to hear your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had.
My favorite networking events are the events that I don't produce, because then I can just go and enjoy people. I produce a lot of events, and I actually have a big conference that we hold every year, and it's such a huge undertaking. And when you do your own events, you don't actually get to go out and enjoy meeting people. So my favorite events are other people's events, I will say. And I do like having the progressive lunches where you meet a lot of people and you don't necessarily, do business, go home. You can pick out one or two people that you really, really thought you could help. And then I always make a point to schedule a phone call or a coffee with them to get to know them on a deeper level and see how I can support them.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have, I like that too. Do you have a specific story that stands out as far as this is a great networking experience that I had, or a success story to share from a networking relationship?
Oh my gosh, now you're putting me on the spot here with my last, but I will, yes. Okay, and this is just a today experience. So I was at a networking event this morning. I was visiting one of my chapters in Chicago downtown, and there was a woman there. She was actually a new member. She just joined just within the last week, and she was super, super excited to be a part of our community. And she came up to me and started talking to me right away as if I already knew her. And I did not recognize her face. I did not recognize who she was. She explained to me. She's like, yes, do you not remember me? I'm not going to say her name, but I met her probably 8 years ago. She was about 200 pounds heavier, which is why I didn't recognize her. But she was somebody that I had met such a long time ago and had a small relationship with her. I had met her a couple times and seen her in the networking community. But what's cool is after seeing her 8 years later, right away, she's a part of my community. She learned how I help people publish books. And she just said, oh my gosh, I just finished writing my book. I need an editor. Do you know an editor? And do you know anybody that can help publish? And I'm like, oh, by the way, yes, I can help you with all of those things. So I think that is maybe a great success story, where if you have relationships and you just kind of keep doing what you're doing, those relationships may not turn into business at that moment, but in the future, they can always turn it into business. So you just kind of keep doing the best you can as a business owner to stay on the right course and keep providing value to others, and then it'll always come around at some point.
I totally believe that. And I'm glad that you said, don't anticipate that the business is going to happen right away, because it's more about building that relationship. Because like you said, 8 years down the road, something came to fruition.
I know.
So that's fantastic. That's really awesome. Thanks for sharing that with us. And then I think you're starting to lead into this point about kind of like staying in front of or nurturing. So how do you stay in front of or best nurture your network?
Well, obviously you're not on my email list, are you, Lori? No, I'm just kidding. we have been pretty religiously for the last, 7 or 8 years, sent out a newsletter that goes out at least twice a month. And it doesn't always have a lot. It's not a newsletter that's offering advice, but what's going on in the community, what kind of events are happening, we recognize our leadership team. It's more of a way for us to inform our tribe, our community, what's going on so they can participate. So we've done that on an ongoing basis, because I think consistency is super, super important when you're maintaining a relationship. And anymore, I'm a really big fan of emails, only because I get so many. And I think that sometimes emails can turn into noise. At least for me, I'm not a fan of emails. It used to be, the emails are as effective as they used to be. But there still is a place for email communications. I also have tried various things on social media to just stay relevant. And 6 years, I have put out a quote and an image every single day, every work day. Today I learned, and it's not a quote that I've created, but I'm just taking a quote like the Tony Robbins quote that I just found today about duplicating other people is going to be a today I learned quote in the future. And I've been doing that on a consistent basis just to stay on top of mind and to stay on people's Facebook feeds. And, that way when I do have messages that I really want to get out there, people will kind of say, hey, I remember her. She's the one that put out that quote. And she always puts those quotes out every morning. And I've had a lot of people that have made comments to me or when I see them say, oh, I really look forward to those quotes. So I think it really depends on your business, who your audience is, and how you can best serve them. And right now, those are a couple of the ways that I've found to serve my audience without making them crazy with too much information. Sometimes I overload, like when we had our conference, I sent out a lot of emails just to make sure we got our attendance up and it worked. We had a great turnout for our conference, but it's just a fine balancing line between serving them and making people crazy with too much stuff. So I don't have the magic potion, but I'm sure you do because that's your business. So I'm sure you could probably add a lot of advice in that area.
Well, I mean, you are definitely speaking my language when it comes to email and social media. And I actually agree with you that I have a love-hate relationship with email. It's more, I love it because it's a great tool. It's low cost and you can really clearly communicate a message and a call to action. I hate it because my inbox is just overwhelmed.
I know.
But on the social media, and I do have to say, I love your... today I learned, I do enjoy reading those, but that's actually what triggered me reaching out to you to invite you to be on the Social Capital podcast. So,
that's good to know. every year we contemplate, do we keep doing it? It takes a lot of time. And then I think, well, gosh, I've probably produced or, put out every quote in the world, but we keep coming up with more. So I'm glad that was something that you found valuable.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you've made it part of your brand already. So, and like you said, people look forward to it. So you definitely don't want to consider getting rid of that. Great pieces of information there. Continuing on with this kind of advice discussion here, what advice would you offer to the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
You know what? I think my advice is to network deep instead of wide. And maybe that comes from the fact that I'm an introvert and that I like the less friends and be really, really close with them than to have tons of friends. But in the networking world, I think it serves people because if you just get out and meet a bunch of people and you pass your cards and you get a lot of cards, I don't think that that's ever going to allow you to form the relationships that you need to build a highly successful business. But if you get plugged into one community, either one chamber or one networking group, and you serve that group in whatever way you can. You need to be a part of the leadership structure of that group. You need to spend time to get to know the people of that group. You need to do whatever you can to help them accomplish their goals. And if you do that, it's going to come back to you tenfold. But you need to go with the mindset of how you can help them and how you can serve them and how you can really, really help them accomplish your goals for them to want to make an effort to help you in return.
Yeah, it's,
is to really network deep. Yep. Create loyal friendships. And it's amazing things will happen if you do that.
Yeah, I like that. I like the language I use there, network deep instead of wide. Because it is all about kind of really strengthening that relationship instead of just knowing someone that's an acquaintance. Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, how many insurance agents have we met at networking events?
Too many.
I mean, too many. And, you know, who are we going to work with? We're going to work with the people that we connect with, that we know, like, and trust. And who are we going to refer clients to? Our power partners that we know, like, and trust, and that are going to do a great job for the people we refer to them. So I definitely, and that was a huge mistake I made in the beginning of my business, is I networked wide. I thought that's what was going to make it. I got to meet a ton of people. And what that did is just led me on a slow course of not really accomplishing anything.
Now that's great advice right there. I'm going to go a different direction here, and I'm actually really interested in what your answer is going to be. I have an assumption, but I am curious here. So digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I am all about the traditional networking. I do social media, but I'm back to this face-to-face conversations. And I don't have to be sitting in a room with them, but I love with the technology that we have now that we can do online meetings where we see each other. I want to see somebody. I want to hear them. I want to have eye contact. You know, that's the way that I'm going to build a relationship, not on Twitter or not on Facebook. I can bring them offline and bring them online, but I need to bring them online for me. Maybe it's just because I'm old school, and I'm sure if you ask a millennial, they'll have a completely different answer. But for me, I need to bring people offline, and I need to get them in my world.
Okay. The reason why I was really curious is you mentioned that you're an introvert, and the majority of people that I've interviewed that comment they're an introvert always say they prefer the digital networking. So,
yes.
It's really interesting that you went traditional.
If I was going to stay in my comfort zone, if I had to stay in my comfort zone, I would do online, but that's not going to necessarily get me the results I need.
Yeah.
So I've had to learn how to do things that I wouldn't normally do, but I had to stretch myself and get out of my comfort zone. So I just know that's more, to me, I think it's more effective, but not necessarily what I would prefer doing.
No, I love that. I mean, I think the powerful message there is to just get out of your comfort zone, no matter what, when it comes to networking.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a couple fun questions. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
20 years. So I would say more in high school, college. I would take acting classes, theater classes. I would have told myself to get out and be more social. I was I did everything I could to not do anything where I had to speak in front of people or speak to people. And I see how that has been a huge, huge stumbling block for me throughout these years, and I'm getting better. I'm forcing myself to go to Toastmasters. I'm forcing myself to get up and speak more. I'm forcing myself to get on podcasts with Lori Hybe. I know me back then. I even know me right after my divorce. And if I would have been more comfortable with people as a child or as a high school or in my developmental years, I think I would be a lot farther than I am right now in my business.
But you're doing those things right now. Like you said, Toastmasters, which I've done and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And you know, being on the podcast, and I know you've been on some TV as well. You've had some press opportunities, I know. So I'm sure that was totally outside of your comfort zone as well.
But I will tell you, Lori, that I have been a Toastmaster for 6 years now. And for the first three or four years, I didn't speak. I didn't get in front of the group. So I did my leadership roles and I got everything else accomplished, but I wouldn't speak. I figured I'm going to do that later, one of these days. So, but now, you've got to push yourself. You've got to do things that are uncomfortable, because that's when you grow and that's when you become better.
Absolutely. I challenged myself by joining an improv class, and that really helped me out a lot.
Yes, I actually, you know what? I've been thinking about that.
I highly
recommend. Love that. Thank you, because I had thought about that.
It was so much fun. And what was funny is I went in with like this professional mindset. I'm doing this personal development thing. And I totally forgot. Like, it's improv. It's funny. You can relax, like chill out. So, you know, everyone else in the class was there to have a good time. You know, there were like theater majors and all these, you know, people having fun. And I went in with like this super serious mindset. And then I totally loosened up and had a great time. So I highly recommend it.
Oh, good for you. All right. Well, you know what? It keeps coming up in my world. So I think that that's going to be one of my new endeavors, is to find an improv class in my area and just commit, make it happen.
Do it.
Yay.
All right. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you can do it within the sixth degree?
Oh, who would I love to connect with? Oh my gosh. I don't know. You know what? I've connected with amazing people, and then the right people always cross my path at the right time for the right reason. I am just a firm believer in that. If I were to try to dream about who I would want to connect with, I don't know if I would have an answer for you on that. I can't. Nobody's coming to mind. Is that bad?
No, that's okay. I mean, and someone threw it back at me once, and I was kind of stuck as well. So
yeah, I don't know. That to me, that's kind of like maybe I'm just so grounded that I never really kind of think about that kind of stuff. But you know what? I'm sure I'm going to be thinking about it the rest of the day. So thanks again, Lori, for giving me two challenges.
All right. So this one shouldn't be a hard one to answer. What book are you reading right now?
Oh, well, I would say that I don't have one book I'm reading. I have many. I saw Ken Davis speak recently at my church. I've got his book here. He's just funny, and he's a great communicator. And so I've been learning from him to be more funnier when I speak and a better communicator on stage. Larry Winget, I love to read his books. I don't know. I've got a bunch of them, but that's a church book. But Mark Patterson, his book, he's got Prayer Circle and If. So those are two other great books that I really love.
Cool.
I've got a bunch more. I've got like 9 books here by my bed, and then 2 that I just finished, fiction books.
Yeah,
so, I'm a big reader.
I'm usually reading about 9 to 10 different books at any given time. It's, I don't know, I pick one up and I start reading it, and I put it down and I pick up another one and I start reading that. So
yeah. Oh, the Amazon delivery guy loves me, because I'm always getting books delivered to my house.
Mm-hmm. All right here. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
You know what? I would just say the advice that I have to any business owner, it doesn't even have to do with network. It's just for you to be able to serve the world the best that you can, however God created you, whatever gifts he gave you, you need to realize that that is going to be an uncomfortable journey. And so you need to own that, be okay with it, and jump in with both feet, follow your path, even when it's scary, because when you do the things that are difficult, that is sometimes the way that you can serve people the most. So be fearless, be strong, follow your destiny, and you're going to make great things happen.
That's awesome. I love that. Just the more uncomfortable you are, it's almost equally in alignment with the more successful you're bound to be. That's fantastic.
Over and over, not just in myself, but I've helped over 100 women just in our book projects alone. And I've just seen the transformation that they have taken to get where they were when they shared this story. And then more importantly, the transformation that they've made since then. So it's just, you've got to be strong. You've got to be fearless and have faith, and everything will work out great.
That's awesome. All right. So, Christy, if anyone wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Well, you can hit my website at ChristyRuffino.com. And what I really love is with our publishing company and our community, all of our websites are linked together at the very top of the page. So you can go to ChristyRuffino.com and then connect with me or any of the resources we have. All of the websites will bounce back and forth amongst each other. So I'd love to. I've got a couple freebies that people can download, and love to be able to help anybody that wants to get published or wants to get connected into our community or build a strong business.
Fantastic. I'll definitely include your website link in our show notes so that people connect with you. All right. So thanks so much, Christy, for being on this show. This is a great discussion we had. I loved learning about your journey, and you had some awesome advice to offer. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks, Lori. I really appreciate you inviting me, and it was so much fun to talk to you.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Christy Ruffino for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.